Morning, everyone. The past several weeks, we have launched into a series called Coming Home, a call to love and embrace Manchester. And this past fall, we launched our church with a new vision, which we've heard beautifully through our children here this morning, to pursue God in his passion for people, pursue God, pursue people. We feel very strongly that this is the call that God has for all his children and for his church. And in order for us to move forward, we need to go back to where it all began, which is here in Manchester. And so we've been so encouraged and challenged to have different leaders from our community come this past month. And today we're so excited to have Tammy Gerhardt here from Silk City Coffee. Why you bring someone from a coffee shop? Well, you'll hear about it in just a moment. With that, I want to share a brief message that I've titled Manchester Unite. Mark chapter 9, which was just read for us, verses 38 to 41. And the key verse that I want us to think about, or the key phrase, is Jesus' own words, "For whoever is not against us is for us." So with that, let's bow our heads in a moment of prayer, and we'll jump right into the message. We give you this time, Lord, to speak to us through your word, through your servant Tammy in just a few minutes. We desperately need to hear from you, and we thank you for your living word. Speak to us, we pray, Lord. Bless this time we have together. We thank you for all things that come from our Father, our perfect Father from heaven above. We acknowledge that, no matter how difficult our lives are at this moment, and we ask that you will visit us in a way that only your Spirit can, through your word, through the gathering of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share just three brief truths based upon the passage we just read, which I do believe flow out of the passage, which is a warning against the danger of exclusion. Secondly, the power of invitation. And thirdly, the freedom of limitation. And so, the danger of exclusion. Here we have John. This is John, the apostle, in his younger form, encountering Jesus early on in Jesus' ministry, experiencing and tasting the power of heaven in following after Jesus, experiencing miracles, the masses being stirred by this new rabbi who he had some idea indeed was the Son of the living God. They heard through the grapevine that there was another disciple, another follower of Christ, who was exercising or casting out a demon out of another person in the name of Jesus Christ. This person was not one of the 12 original followers of Jesus, the disciples or the apostles. This man that they heard about was not one of the inner three, the Peter, James, and John. And so we have here John's own words: "We saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." We told him to stop because he was not one of us. The danger of exclusion. This man, ironically, when we look at Mark chapter 9, verse 18, of this young boy who was seized by a demon, undergoing all sorts of pain and hurt and destruction in his life, the father describes the pain that his son was going through, and whenever it seizes him, this devil, this demon, it throws him down, he foams and grinds his teeth, he becomes rigid. "So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." They were not able. And yet here is some other follower of Jesus, not one of the 12, not one of the three. They don't even know whose name, what his name was. But they cast out a demon, something that they ascribed to do but couldn't. In just a few verses before in our passage, they told him to stop. We told him to stop because he was not one of us. We often think of John in his final form, the aged, beloved apostle with wisdom and experience and love. But this is John in his earlier years, before he got there to that stage of incredible spirituality and wisdom and experience and just being the Apostle John. Think about it. John had some of the greatest privileges any human being on earth could experience, to see Jesus in the flesh, to walk with him, to dine with him, to serve with him, to see the kingdom of God come in power. And yet, when we think about John here early on in his faith and following of Jesus, we see in the midst of a true heart that is willing to follow Christ, we see a heart that needs to grow a lot more into maturity and Christ-likeness, because he had a heart of exclusion. Should we stop him? We're going to tell him to stop, because he's not one of us. John had what I think a lot of us struggle with. He had an elitist attitude toward this unknown outsider. They were maybe not only suspicious, but maybe a little bit jealous because he was able to do what they couldn't. Who is this independent rogue servant using the name of Jesus Christ to cast out a demon? He's not one of us. We're going to go tell him to stop. And we're reminded from this passage that John has forgotten early on that his call as a follower of Jesus and a disciple, as a disciple, was one of humble service, not one of entitlement, privilege, and definitely not a heart of exclusion. This often happens as we begin to follow Jesus in our lives, as we become involved in his wonderful work of loving other people and pursuing them with the passion of God. We often fall into this inflation of our own self-importance, that we're just the tool, we're the instrument, we're broken jars of clay. And that is a dangerous and deadly thing that we see John himself falling into early on in his journey with Jesus. And I think this is something we have to think about and examine ourselves as we seek to pursue God and his passion for people, the heart of exclusion. Secondly, look at Jesus' words that shows us the power of invitation. Do not, verse 39, stop him, Jesus said. For no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. Do not stop him. How ironic, they wanted to stop the work of God taking place, the only reason being because it wasn't being done through them. And Jesus says, no, my heart and the heart of my kingdom is one of invitation. Do not stop such people, he says. Anyone acting in my name, empowered by God and the Spirit, cannot be lightly regarded, he is saying. He is one of us. Do not stop him. The more and more when we think about what is Christianity all about, what is the heart of true faith, Is it not following Jesus as his lifelong committed disciple? In order for us to accomplish that successfully, we have to follow his example, his words, his invitational heart that he always exhibited in his time that he was here with us. Matthew 11, come to me, all who are labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. John 7, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes me, as the scripture says, out of his heart, some translates out of his belly, will flow streams of living, rivers of living water. John 6, to those that are hungry, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Follow me, Jesus says, and I will make you fishers of men. Not just you three, Peter, James, and John. Not just you 12. All who hear my words and believe, be my disciples. Is that not what the Great Commission is all about? Jesus began with a ragtag group of very lost men. Come, and you will see. We are to absorb the heart of Christ in understanding and following him and serving him. There is a heart of invitation that continuously needs to flow out of our heart, of our lives, of our church. To know the heart of Jesus, to know the heart of the gospel, is to know that you have been undeservingly invited to the table, and we now have tasted how good he is. Can't hold back, but want to invite others. Whether they accept the invitation or not is really in their hands, but we are continually inviting people to the table. Thirdly, and finally, what I see here, Jesus says in verse 40, which reminds me of the joy, the freedom of limitation, for whoever is not against us is for us. Truly I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name, because you belong to the Messiah, will certainly not lose their reward. Jesus reminds us that we are to embrace the freedom and the reality that comes when we realize that we indeed cannot do it all. We are not all powerful like God is, like Jesus is. We have our limits. The more we grow in our faith, we understand how big God is. He cannot be contained, and our God often, in our minds, is not necessarily the biblical God because we make him small and controllable to make him look, smell, and taste just like us. But the kingdom of God is a movement. It is a pervasive kingdom that continually branches out from the heart of God himself, his rule, his reign, his power, his grace, his holiness. We cannot control that. We cannot capitalize on that. We cannot think that we are the only ones that can dictate what his kingdom looks like. And when we begin to understand that there is so much to do, there are so many, how many people need a cup of water of the river of life? Think about how many thousands and thousands of people in our communities wouldn't even think about coming to church this Sunday morning, but they don't know how desperately they need Jesus. Self-awareness reflects our growing maturity and understanding of ourselves and God and the gospel, that we indeed are very small. We can't do it all. And that we all have a unique niche, a gift set, a personality, and a short window of time while we are healthy and strong enough to serve God and his kingdom. Those that understand this exhibit a heart of invitation and understand, no matter how gifted, smart, educated, passionate they are, they cannot do it all. they have limits, and we need, through invitation, all the help that we can gather. During the time of Moses, when two individuals, Eldad and Medad, were prophesying in the camp, oh my gosh, who are these guys? Joshua was so worried. In Numbers chapter 11, from Moses' youth, his assistant, my Lord, Moses, stop them from prophesying. Listen to Moses' words. But Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them. With so many people that need God's touch, his hand upon their lives. Oh, Moses says, I wish everyone could be anointed in this way, that we could share the load, we can share the ministry. Are you jealous for my sake? No. Moses understood it. When Paul was imprisoned in a Philippian jail, where critics, even his enemies, fellow believers, who were not in harmony with Paul, and yet they were preaching Christ, even from impure motives. Paul says in Philippians 1, even if they preach Christ from envy and rivalry, others from goodwill, the latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. And this is amazing. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely thinking to afflict, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in that I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. That is the heart of one who understands the gospel, the heart of Jesus himself. And so early on in the disciples' training and discipleship and journey with Jesus, Jesus himself had to correct this misguided, misunderstanding that could quickly derail them when he gave the call to make disciples of all nations to the ends of the earth. James Edwards, New Testament theologian, one of my favorite, says this, that there can be no neutrality with regard to the person of Jesus, but disciples must learn tolerance with those who differ from them. Amen. And he goes on to help me understand and help us understand what Jesus is trying to talk about, that God's kingdom is far larger than our individual experience of it. And that is often very, very hard for us the longer we journey in faith. We often think that is my experience of it, my understanding, my perspective of it, my ministry of it, that is really the kingdom of God. But God's kingdom is far more pervasive, far larger, far more powerful than we could even begin to dream or imagine. The longer we journey in faith, often we don't have a larger view of the kingdom, but a smaller one. We tend to parochialism. We tend to personalization. And we love to privatize everything. And not only John, but us who are followers of Christ need to be warned about this danger of exclusivity as we move forward in God's call for our lives. And so at three levels, we applied, and let me end, at the church level. Even if Trinity next Sunday had 1,000 people in here, there are over 1.2 million people in the greater Hartford area. We could have 10 Trinities of 1,000 each, and we would barely make a dent in bringing the gospel to the people in our communities. We need all different kinds of churches, all different types of way to do ministry and philosophies of ministry, as long as it's centered on Jesus, to see the kingdom of God ushered in our communities and here in our own city. We need many different kinds of churches. Even if we were to become a mega church, we would barely scratch the surface. We're a good church, but we're not the only church. Secondly, at a ministry level, let us not forget our call to humble service. Often, the longer we are on a particular ministry team that reflects our passion, often the more intense that experience is and the more powerfully God works through it, we actually are in greater danger of falling into a heart of exclusivity. And real maturity and understanding of God's grace is one that understands that. And we fight against that spirit of exclusivity, of entitlement. At a personal level, every day we wake up, may we be blown away the fact that we can even go to church and belong to a body called the body of Jesus Christ. The very fact that we can serve in ministry is a miracle that should blow our minds away every day. To know of our positions, our opportunities, our titles, do we embrace it? And can we let go of it easily? Everything is a gift from God. There will come a time where Kathy and I will sense a new call. Who knows when that will be? We have to be able to follow Christ. Be able to let go. Be able to embrace a new call. Don't worry, we're not leaving anytime soon. But that is the nature of being a follower of Jesus. I think all of us would do well to visit a new church just once, to be the new guy, the new gal, when no one knows your name, and you begin to realize how special it is that we have a church family that we can love and serve, recognize our gifts. We take it for granted how special that is. Can we celebrate the wins of others? That is a true test. We must always fight against the danger of thinking that we have the exclusive corner market on God's Spirit and His kingdom. God is always doing a new thing. He's always branching out, reaching all different kinds of people. This is the kingdom of God. And so three things, and I'll end. There are three hearts that we've been challenged by this morning. The exclusive heart, which all of us need to examine. Our own hearts, if this is us. Their mantra, our mantra is, you aren't one of us. You aren't one of us. You don't have the history, the relational connections, the education, the color, the way you smell, the way you eat. The way you do life, it's so different. You're not really one of us. We'll say hi. That is an exclusive heart. You're too young. You're too inexperienced. You don't believe like us, worship like us. You're different than us. You're not one of us. The heart of exclusivity. Secondly, is the invitational heart that we see in Jesus. Come join us. Come join us. Journey with us. There's room for you at the table. We will be better if you're part of us. Belong with us. Even if you're not sure what you believe in yet, belong with us. Journey with us. Hang out with us. And allow that to be the litmus test to see if we really live out what we believe. We're constantly inviting others in. Come join us. Be a part of us. And the heart of the kingdom is the mantra that is captured by, please help us. So much work to do. So many people in our generation and communities that don't know God in their lives, don't not only become part of us, but please join us. Jesus knew this when he saw the crowds. Matthew 9 says he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to whom? His disciples. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. What a challenge that God gives to us this morning as we think about the kind of heart that really reflects his own. What we need to guard against. and how as we move forward to pursue God and his passion for people here in Manchester and beyond, may we learn and be challenged by Jesus' interaction, his words with John, as we ourselves can learn much from this challenge of the danger of exclusivity, the power of invitation, the power to invite, to come join us and help us. Amen.